C.S. Lewis said that the most important thing in Christianity is the incarnation of Christ. That's the most significant part of everything that happens. It all, of course, works together. The cross is, of course, pivotal, but that doesn't mean anything without the empty grave. The resurrection is what proves everything Jesus said was right. But if Jesus wasn't truly a human being, a man born as just like you and me have been born, it doesn't work. The cross doesn't fix anything if he's not a human being. It's so incredibly powerful and so incredibly significant. I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 9. Because Christmas is about knowing him. The reason Jesus came to earth as a baby was so that we could know the Lord. Know who he is and what he's like. Isaiah chapter 9. This scripture tells us a little bit about what the Messiah is like. Not what he will be like or what he was like, but what he is like now. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Not unto them, not unto somebody else. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For just a couple minutes, I want to tell you what it means to be a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Now, the first thing that's important is that this comma, which shows up in the King James Version, probably shouldn't be there. Now, don't kill me or anything, okay? I'm not saying the King James Version is not a good translation or a wonderfully blessed translation of the Bible. But those commas aren't there in Hebrew. It's put there to help English speakers understand what is being said. So sometimes it's appropriate. But many, many, many Hebrew scholars now tell us that that comma is not supposed to be there. Because those two Hebrew words, wonderful and counselor, are supposed to be combined. Just like Mighty God is combined, and Everlasting Father is combined, and Prince and Peace are combined, Wonderful and Counselor are combined as well. The Hebrew word here for wonderful means marvel or miracle. Hebrew for counselor means to advise, to deliberate or resolve, or give counsel. It means marvelous advisor is literally what it means. You could say also extraordinary strategist. Well, that's maybe not quite exactly the way it's meant, but this gives us a picture of the wisdom of Christ. He is a wonderful counselor. He has miraculous wisdom. His counsel is perfect every time. What God says to us is always exactly right. Now, sometimes it's harder to hear him than other times. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. Sometimes God will conceal his counsel in order to motivate us to pursue him more. But a wonderful counselor is the name of our Savior, and he is wise beyond understanding, beyond belief. In fact, It's so beyond belief that sometimes we have a hard time accepting his counsel, don't we? Sometimes the things God says we ought to do, we have a hard time doing them because they're so beyond what we understand. Or maybe we just don't want to give up our own way. We don't want to take the advice of someone else. We want to be the decision maker, don't we? But the perspective of an eternal God is very valuable. His perspective is eternal. His knowledge is infinite, and his righteousness is absolute. That's the kind of guy you want giving you counsel. That's the wisdom you want to follow. But you know this wisdom of the Lord? It's necessary to be combined to these other three things. He's also a mighty God. The Hebrew word here for mighty means powerful, warrior, champion, valiant man. It's pronounced Truman. Just kidding. It's pronounced Gibor. Warrior. Valiant man. This is speaking of the ability of our Lord. The child of Bethlehem was the mighty God. And you know this Hebrew word for God? It can also, it's sometimes translated almighty, the almighty. So in many ways, this passage is telling us his name is called the Mighty Almighty. Like, God's power is immense. It's overwhelming. It's unfathomable. It's infinite. There's nothing too hard for him to do. Nothing too hard for him to do. Now, just because he has the ability to do it, doesn't mean that he chooses to do it. The Lord has the ability to completely wipe out all of mankind and start from scratch. That doesn't mean he's going to. Just because God has the ability to take away every pain or sorrow you ever have or ever will experience and completely make everything bliss in your life doesn't mean God will do it. You remember the man at the temple in Jerusalem where Peter and John met him and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Why didn't Jesus heal that guy? He'd been there for 40 years. Jesus chose not to heal him. He sent his servant. He did it a different time. So while we talk about the power of God, we have to remember that does not mean that he has given up his wisdom. See the point? Being the mighty almighty doesn't do a lot of good if you're not also a wonderful counselor. If you don't have infinite wisdom, all the power in the world is not really going to be that useful or beneficial to people. But the next time you stop and you think how massive your mountain is, you know what your mountain is. All of you know the mountain. When you see that mountain, you remember that it is like a speck of dust to how big our God is. It's nothing. His power is so much greater and stronger than all of the problems you face. Every challenge or struggle in your life, he is the mighty God. There is no limit to what he can accomplish. But he's also the everlasting Father. You see, you can have all the wisdom in the world. There's no special insight about the Hebrew here. It just means eternal Father. Eternal Father is what this means. Everlasting. He has no beginning and no ending. It's a lot easier for me to imagine nothing, no ending, than it is to imagine no beginning. He's eternity past and eternity future. Both. But he's an everlasting Father. Jesus is a father in this sense. He is the first source. He's the great beginning of everything. By him was everything made that was made, it says in John 1. It says in Colossians that Jesus holds together everything that exists by his power. He holds us all together. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. That's the beautiful irony. One of the beautiful ironies about Christmas is that the everlasting Father was born as a child. Hey, a son is born unto us, and he's called the everlasting Father. You see, it's great to have all the wisdom in the world, and it's immensely awesome to be a mighty God. But if you only last for a short period of time, see, if our God existed only for a spot, he wasn't eternal. If he, you know, say, the beginning of the world to a few years later, or whatever the time frame was, if he doesn't have eternity, then he's limited by time. So then those that get to be born and live and exist in this window of time, if he's not an everlasting Father, those that live right here in that window of time when he is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, they're blessed. But if you happen to be so unlucky as to be born or exist outside of his existence, you're up a creek without a paddle. You're stuck. So these all work together. He's not just the wisest counselor you can find, the most miraculous advisor. He's not only the mightiest of all the mighty, the most powerful being that has ever existed. He is also eternally existing. You can't get away from him. You can't somehow get unlucky and God doesn't know about me. He's eternity past and eternity future. And he is, to use a term from Norse mythology, he's the All-Father. He's the initiator of everything. He is the head of us all. Excuse me. His tender mercy and compassion for us is what motivated his being born in the first place, because that is what a good father does. A good father has tender compassion, mercy upon his children, and that's our Savior. And lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. Prince in Hebrew means captain, chief, ruler, governor. He is the governor, the Prince of Peace. He's the captain of peace, the general of peace. What is peace? Well, a lot of people know that peace is shalom in Hebrew. But what it means is that two factions that were at war have been joined together, not just the cessation of hostility, not just, okay, we're not going to fight anymore, not just the stopping of the fighting, but the unification of those two parties. That's what peace is. They've been joined together. It is atonement. It is unity. It is, in Hebrew, it means completeness, soundness, welfare, health, tranquility, contentment, and friendship. That is shalom. And that he is the captain of that experience, of that peacefulness, that unity, that contentment, wholeness, soundness. That's him. You see, he could be, let's imagine for a second if he was the wonderful counselor, the greatest, wisest counselor that we could find, all wisdom, all knowing. If he was the mighty God with infinite strength, he was the everlasting Father, so he was eternally there, you could never get away from him. But he wasn't the Prince of Peace. That means he would be all about war, all about fighting. He would be a domineering tyrant. He would be overbearing, and there would not be peace. There would be constantly conflict. But this tells us about who he is, that he loves peace. He loves unity, wholeness, tranquility. He loves it so much that he sacrificed himself on the cross willingly to achieve eternal peace between mankind and himself. He loves peace that much. It is very important to Jesus because we were at war with him. We were in conflict. We were enemies of God, the Bible says. But Jesus came to bring a cessation of hostilities. He called a ceasefire. But not just a ceasefire. He said, I want you to be part of me. I want you to be part of me. I want us to be in the same family. We're going to be in covenant together. It's like two warring countries that call a ceasefire and then decide to become one country instead. Except that we could hardly claim to be called a country in the eyes of God. I mean, we're nothing. And yet the Prince of Peace went all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, and came back again so that we could be unified with him. Isaiah is telling us about the Savior to be born. That's why these shepherds were jumping and leaping with joy. That's why Mary was holding these things up in her heart. That's why Zechariah, when he saw him in the temple, he said, "Whoa, I can die happy." It was not Zechariah, it was Simon. Or what was his name? Simeon, thank you. You know, I was getting that wrong. Zechariah was John the Baptist's dad, and he rejoiced to know that his son was the precursor, and he prophesied. But then Simeon, in the temple, sees his face. I think about my 3-year-old right there. Jesus was once 3. Now, I don't sure if he had red hair or not, but he was once 3. He had fingers like that. Little ones. They weren't big yet. He probably had to be potty trained. And think of that. He probably fell down and hurt his knee, and his mommy came on, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, let me kiss it." That was the Savior of the world. That little guy was the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And that same Lord is alive now and is this way today. You see, sometimes we feel incomplete. Do you feel incomplete sometimes? Some people do. There's a hole in their heart that can't figure out why it's there. Something is missing. And many people think that they can find it in fame, and so they pursue becoming, you know, famous or well-known and glorified by the world. They pursue it with all their heart because they think that's where they, when they finally reach it, then that hole will be filled. Some people think it's filled with money. So they pursue billions of dollars and seek to become as wealthy as they can, and they try to find different possessions or hobbies. Some people find it through adrenaline sports. You know, they think jumping off of a cliff or out of an airplane, or, you know, that somehow doing that, climbing mountains, that if they climb high enough one, they'll find contentment and peace. There's this big hole and they're incomplete and they don't realize what they need to fill it. And they need to fill it with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Sometimes we need soundness. We don't feel like we're all together. I personally feel that way often. I'm not all there. But Jesus can fill that hole and make us sound. He brings health to our soul and our body and our mind. Contentment. That's what it means to have peace with God, is to be content, to be at peace. And He is the Lord of peace. And so this morning, today, if you need wisdom, ask of God. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he doesn't hold it back, but you got to ask in faith. But you also need to be willing to do what God says. God gives us counsel, and we need to follow that counsel. We need to remember that God sees things we can't see. He understands things that we don't, because his counsel is miraculous. And if you're looking at your life and you see a problem that's bigger than you can understand, or you see an impossible situation, don't forget that we serve a mighty God, the mighty Almighty. He's more powerful than anything you can even imagine. Just sit there and try to imagine something that's more powerful than God. You won't get there. Even that old philosophy thing that people say, can God make a rock that's too big for him to pick up? Well, if he can't, then there's something he can't do. And if he can make a rock that's too big for him to pick up, then there's something he can't do. Next time, if anybody ever asks you that, you just say, you know what? Both of those things are infinite. God would continue making a rock for infinity, and he would be able to pick it up every single time for infinity. It just, you have to take into account infinity. His strength is infinity. The everlasting Father, he is always there. He will never not be there. And when you feel abandoned or alone, or like God has forgotten you, you remember the everlasting Father is always right in front of you, with you in every moment of everything, and knows everything about us. And he's also the Prince of Peace. If your life is untranquil, if you find a hole in your heart that you can't fill no matter how hard you try, look to the captain of tranquility, the general of soundness, the Lord of completeness, the Prince of Peace. If there's enmity between you and God, or between us and God, let's say it that way. If we have enmity between us and God, we need to call a ceasefire, and we need to seek after the Prince of Peace, because he paid the ultimate price for there to be peace between us, because he values peace greatly. That is Jesus. That is who he is, guys. That's the child that was born, that we celebrate, that we rejoice in. If he's not that way, there's not a good reason to celebrate. If any one of those things are not there, the others are not as important and not as significant. So next time you hear Handel's Messiah, or somebody singing that wonderful, no comma, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You remember what those things mean, and how they're all connected to each other, and how that guy still knows us today. He's here in this room. He receives our praise and worship with gladness. that baby grew up, became a man, the greatest superhero ever, and saved us all if we will only receive him. It's all about him. It's all about him. Jesus is the reason for life, not just the season. We seek and pursue his face every moment of our lives. If we do that, we find peace. We find shalom. If we seek after the Savior. Lord, thank you very much. Thank you very much for choosing to come into the world and bringing us redemption and joy, for saving us from our sins. Thank you for being all of these things to us and in us. Help us to remember when things get hard and the problems get big, help us to remember who you really are. We praise you in Jesus' name.